a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Friday. Gotta get down on Friday, March 14th, 2025. I'm Paul Gallant, and this is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. And it gets a little more interactive on Fridays because what we do is a little thing called Ask Gallant Anything. Truly, anything. We'll work it into the show once we talk about the things that need to be talked about. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass. Sean, we will be doing a three-hour show today because your Texas Longhorns, once again, took down little brother Texas A&M.
I really thought they'd get this one. I really thought this would be the back-to-back for the for this Texas team that kind of stinks. But
yesterday you were waffling back and forth on whether or not you wanted to work the third hour, but also wanting Texas to go far.
Yeah.
I think based off of your hat, which is the 06 Rose Bowl hat, Texas and USC, and burnt orange shirt, that you actually at the end of the day are happy.
Yeah. Well, about like around halftime, I was like, all right, let's get this.
Got to say, Aggies, I mean, when are you going to do it? I mean, baseball, you lose the coach. He goes from A&M to Texas. Football, you never had a prayer in that game. Basketball, you're better than Texas at basketball, and you lose. Come on, guys. Get it together. This has been a rough year, especially now that you're both in the SEC. Clean it up. We'll talk a little more about that later. The Houston Texans, in the midst of free agency, continued to fix their offensive line, or at least add pieces to it. Yesterday, they made a trade. They traded for Vikings guard Ed Ingram. And guess what, guys? Ed Ingram was once a second-round pick. But here's the problem. He was a second-round pick, and the Vikings traded him to you for just a sixth-round pick. Huh. I wonder why. Well, let's take a look at what happened with Mr. Ingram this past year, because he wasn't making that much money. $6 million in the last year of his rookie contract. They did make some additions in free agency, the Vikings did, on the offensive line. But Ingram was benched last year after week 10. He struggled, allowing 5 sacks, 25 pressures, and 16 quarterback hurries in 9 starts. He never played another snap. So when you factor that in, after the Texans traded Laremy Tunsil for a third and a seventh round pick in this year's draft, a second and a fourth in next year's draft, and that they also traded Kenyon Green for C.J. Gardner-Johnson, the Texans have replaced those two, in a way, with Kenyon Green and Laken Tomlinson. Can you guess where Laken Tomlinson ranked in one-on-one pressure rate last year, Sean Mapes? I know this is a tough one. It's a weird, nuanced offensive line statistic.
But pressure rate. More or less pressure rate.
Yeah, one-on-one pressure rate.
Okay.
Where did Laken Tomlinson rank in terms of that?
Well, to me, he's just kind of like a journeyman guard who starts for different teams. So I'm going to say like slightly below average.
Fourth.
Oh.
He is the fourth.
Fourth best?
Worst.
Oh.
In terms of pressure allowed. So that's the guy that you signed.
Okay. Well,
can you guess where Ed Ingram ranks in terms of highest one-on-one pressure rate allowed among all guards?
Well, Tomlinson's obviously like kind of the depth piece there. You know, you're just trying to steady hand, back up Kendrick Green type. this guy must be the guy they figured to be a starter to replace Shaq Mason. So he has to be middle of the road. I saw in the tweet he was a former second-round pick.
Sean, literally the worst in the NFL. He is the worst. He was number one in terms of highest one-on-one pressure rate. So you got rid of Kenyon Green, who was third, by the way.
Bronze medal.
It is incredible that you got anything for Kenyon Green. But you signed Laken Tomlinson, and you traded for Ad Ingram. I do not know what the hell it is that the Texans see in these guys. And by golly, Cole Popovich, I hope that you've got the genetics of your father, Greg Popovich, and can be the greatest offensive line coach ever, because you're going to effing have to be with these guys. Oh, my God. This is who they're going to protect C.J. Stroud with? This is what we're doing? This is it. This is the plan. And look, Nick Caserio's done a lot of good things. But if there is one thing that we could say he loves the red flags in, it's offensive linemen. He is like a woman obsessed with biker gang members, you know? I could fix him. I'll have him settle down. I'll get his life back on track. A lady who likes the bad boys. Guess what? The bad boys generally stay bad. You can't break them. You're not a horse wrangler. You're just a woman that's hot. You're not going to be able to fix this guy. And I don't know that the Texans can fix these offensive linemen, because it's just Nick Caserio when it boils down to it. Despite a lot of victories in the personnel department over the last couple of years, I do not trust this guy when it comes to acquiring offensive linemen. I don't. Shaq Mason had one good year. Last year he stunk. You drafted Kenyon Green. Whoops. That's been bad. You feeling good about Juice Scruggs going into year three? I'm not. How about Blake Fisher going into year two? I suppose I'm feeling better than I am about Juice Scruggs. So this is what the Texans are doing on the offensive line. And it's strange. They're bringing in projects, to put it politely, on the offensive line. I can fix him. And then they're obsessed with defensive ends. I like defensive ends, and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. When a pass rusher's on the edge and he's getting in a quarterback's face, you get sprung. They've brought in a lot of defensive ends. They've brought in a lot of, but they were fine at defensive end. Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson. They've brought in a bunch of special teamers, expensive special teamers. I'm not liking the plan right now, and I'm curious as to what the Texans are going to get for an offseason grade. But right now, I can understand why some rando by the name of, what's his name? I found this guy online, and I was like, you know what? I like the cut of his jib, because unlike most P-words who, when it comes to grading prospects, are never harsh, grading off-seasons, grading drafts, generally no one ever gets lower than a C these days, so everyone passes, which is insane. No one even gets Ds. That's what she said. The Texans, per this rando, Frank Schwab, got an F. An F to this point. And you know what? I would probably give them a D because the C.J. Gardner-Johnson trade is really good, but I don't know what they're doing on the offensive line. They're spending a lot of money on defensive ends and special teams players. Where's the offensive lineman? Where's the tight ends? That's all. So, look, still plenty of time left, and I do trust Nick Caserio running the ship. I do not think that, like some psychos online calling for Nick Caserio's head, I think y'all need to back off a little bit. But priority number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 this offseason were making sure C.J. Stroud doesn't die. And have you addressed that? No, you brought in two of the worst offensive linemen available, it seems. At least based off of this one specific metric, pressures allowed one-on-one. So, don't know what the plan is. And everyone's got their types. You know, some people like ladies with guns upstairs. Others like ladies with donks. Maybe some like just the archetype of a soccer player. I would say that's one of me, what I am all about. But here's the thing. Like, I don't like this, okay? I respect everyone's choices. I respect everyone's tastes. But this is not what I want. So I'm hoping that there is something else to come. But the Texans are running out of draft picks to trade. They don't have that many. I think they have four left now. And the guys that they've brought in are underwhelming at best. If not, effing terrible players. You know, and I want to be respectful, and I do hope that these guys are able to turn it around here. But, I mean, why should I expect them to turn it around here?
Yeah, when our reaction to the Laremy Tunsil trade was, like, we understand the, you know, the interpersonal aspects of why you might want him traded. But at the end of the day, like, you need to get some good offensive linemen in here, and Laremy Tunsil's a good offensive lineman. This strategy seems to be banking a lot on, hey, we're going to try real hard. We got a bunch of guys that are going to come in
and work hard.
They're going to work hard. They're going to understand a new scheme, a better scheme from last year, because we got Strausser out of here. We got Cole Popovich in.
Laremy Tunsil's gone. Bad attitude.
Yeah. Now it's going to be a whole bunch of good guys that are going to. This ragtag group of misfits is going to come together and beat Team Iceland.
Call me crazy, but I prefer the talented player who doesn't give a bleep to these guys. Call me crazy.
If I have a choice, yes.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, just give me the guy who can play.
I like talented players at the NFL level. And, you know, I saw a couple of people online who were posting clips of Ed Ingram.
Yeah.
One rep where he looks good. By the way, he got help from a running back chipping Jalen Carter from the Philadelphia Eagles. I saw that and I'm like, okay, here we go again. Use one clip and say, like, yeah, Nick Caserio gets it. And I mean, okay, well, how about we find all the bad ones of him? Because I'm sure there's plenty of them.
He was the worst in one-on-one pass rush win rate. I'm sure there's some losses on tape.
He was benched and never played another snap, Sean. The guy didn't even get in on special teams like field goal block or punt block. Like, the guy didn't even get in there. So, Ed Ingram, Laken Tomlinson, that's the plan right now. And getting rid of Laremy Tunsil, also part of the plan. All I'm saying is, don't like the plan to this point.
Yeah, what's the plan?
I don't. If this is the plan, I don't like it. So that's all I'm trying to say. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. Zach said, hey, we had to shake things up. Laremy Tunsil let to go. I'm happy with the moves by the Texans. Listen, I can understand moving on from Laremy Tunsil, but by the way, you have to replace him, and their plan is to put Titus Howard, who hasn't played left tackle since 2021 when this team blew, over to left. Not a great plan here. This is your right tackle only who moved to left guard and probably will now do whatever he can because he wants to keep making the money that the Texans gave him, that extension that he's not worth. You're worth what you earn, but no. Not Titus Howard. Not Titus Howard. And credit to him for getting that money, but no, he is not worth that. From the 936, Eric the driver asks, Paul, how do you take your coffee? Black. That's it. When I first started drinking coffee, creamer, French vanilla creamer specifically, and then as I continued to drink coffee, I was like, this is too sweet. And then eventually it's just been black. My preference, Texas Pecan from HEB. Fantastic. And a lot of other places are now doing the Texas Pecan brand. You can get it at some coffee shops. The Buffalo Grill has it. What's that place that I've gone to? I've done a couple of TV shows there. Adair Kitchen does it. Like the Texas Pecan coffee. That stuff is the truth. I was ordering it when I was living in Seattle. I was ordering it from HEB online. Like I was having it shipped to my house. Worth it. Thank you very much. Power of Amazon Prime. That is Sean Behind the Glass and Paul Gallant. It's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. If you like this Texans offensive line plan, please help me out. Please. Please do it. I need help. I need some help here. Also, Cougs got a big game tonight. It's a Cougar off. Who's the greatest Cougar of all time? Huh? Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
On an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, the last segment we were talking about the Texans' plan on the offensive line. Not a fan of it to this point. You traded Laremy Tunsil for 4 draft picks, but none of them are a first-round pick. You signed Laken Tomlinson, who allowed the 4th most pressures one-on-one in the NFL last year. and you traded a sixth-round pick to the Vikings for Ed Ingram yesterday, who allowed the most pressures in the NFL one-on-one last year on the interior at guard. Kenyon Green, by the way, who you traded for C.J. Gardner-Johnson, that was a nice move, is third worst on that front. He had his introductory press conference with the Philadelphia Eagles, and per Brooks Kubina, who used to cover the Texans for the Houston Chronicle, now covering the Birds for the Athletic, Kenyon Green, on his style of play, believes he is a, quote, mauler, end quote, and he likes to, quote, move people, end quote. And that's nice. I respect his truth. I describe myself as a flag football legend. I describe myself as a Casanova. Are those things true? You can want something to be true. It doesn't mean they're true. But we do wish Kenyon Green the best of luck in Philadelphia. Truly. Doesn't seem like he was a bad guy. He had some bad luck with injuries. Now, a texter brings up, Eagles fan here, he thinks the Texans should pay Mekhi Becton. Stroudland, who's the Eagles offensive line coach. What's his first name, Sean? Do you remember off the top of your head?
Jeff Stoutland.
Jeff Stoutland. There you go. Transformed him into a legitimate guard. I didn't know Becton had been moved over to guard, but I will take Becton over these guys. Sorry. I feel like we all should be in agreement on that.
And if they sign Becton, like I assume that he is no doubt about it going to be a starter.
Yes.
And I would hope that he's the starter at guard because that's where he's been good in the NFL as opposed to at tackle where the Jets drafted him. I want to say in 2020, maybe it was 21. And then it starts to make more sense. These moves start to make more sense. The moves they already have on the board. Because if you want to tell me that Ingram is kind of a, hey, developmental backup piece, we'll see. Okay. And Thomason is a hold, you know, like a spot starter type. Like a, hey, we're going to just have a decent guy right here, even though, how decent is he? But we'll have a guy right here, and then Becton on the other side, and then maybe you draft a guy, and you hope that Thomason holds that spot until either Ingram or the draft pick can take it from him. Like, okay, this plan starts to look better, but right now they don't,
yes.
In my eyes, they haven't gotten an actual starter yet.
I haven't heard them link to Mekhi Becton to this point, and yeah, you're moving Tytus Howard to a position that he hasn't played in a while. He did play. Apparently, he was good in 2021 playing left tackle. Truly, I wouldn't know. I'm not someone who acts like I know offensive line film. I'm not Brian Baldinger out there. By the way, Brian Baldinger once gave Kenyon Green effusive praise in the preseason, which goes to show you everyone is capable of putting together good reps in the NFL. Yeah. So, look, maybe Ingram can figure it out. Project piece. Lakin Tomlinson, maybe he can figure it out. And the idea of the Texans' offensive line being a Thunderdome-esque, if you've seen Mad Max 3, Thunderdome! That's Tina Turner. A Mad Max 3-esque Thunderdome, where everyone, you know, iron sharpening iron, as they always say. Great. Here's the problem. The offseason, it just completely screws over offensive linemen. You can't get the best looks at what a guy is because of how limited they are in terms of contact. So if this was old school NFL, hell yeah, bring in all the bodies and see what happens. Whoever survives, whoever's at the top of the Thunderdome at the end, great. But this sort of limits you too. So I need something more, okay? I'm willing to trust you on Tytus Howard to a degree. The interior, I do not know who your left guard, center, or right guard are. It's Jarrett Patterson and Juice Scruggs competing with those two. And I've seen nothing from any of those guys to this point that makes me feel like they're going to be plus players. I need at least one plus player on the interior.
Yeah, one guy where you can at least, you can see it. You know, where we talked about how, you know, just given the resources at the Texans' disposal this offseason, this was before they traded Laremy Tunsil, that we thought that, hey, whatever their plan at offensive line is, they're going to have to talk us into it.
Yes,
because
exactly.
Just given what they've already invested in this offensive line and how it did not work, now they're going to have less resources to try to make it work. It's going to have to be some, hey, you're going to have to trust us on this guy. Or
yeah.
We're counting on this rookie to come in and start day one. That sort of thing. And right now, this is what the Texans are shaping up to do exactly that. And like I said, right now, I'm not sure if they got a starter yet. I think
exactly.
Both these guys might be backups. And maybe you're looking at drafting at least one guy in the first. I think they have 4 picks in the top 90. So they'll, I mean, to me, draft at least two offensive linemen in those top, in the top three rounds. Like, you have to hit this position hard. Again, crapshoot. We'll take a lot of shots then.
Yes. Take a lot of shots like...
like Lil Jon and LMFAO. Shot, 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 shots.
Those sound like fun shots.
Everybody.
Right. Not shots like Philip Seymour Hoffman in Along Came Polly.
Okay. At least you didn't go with Platoon, Defoe's character in Platoon.
Well, he took a lot of shots. He took
an insane amount of shots.
I mean, credit to him. He
and
hung
still
in there.
Put his arms up at the end.
He hung in there for a
and
while.
Took some more.
Honestly, like the sheer physics of it doesn't seem to add up. Hey. Great Oliver Stone movie. 713-780-3776 to call in to text it. Did you just watch that movie recently or something like that?
No, not that recently.
Okay. Yeah,
a couple years ago.
That was a good pull, though. On YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Christopher Soriano says they are culture guys. Well, I effing hope so. I hope they're the culturiest culture guys of all time.
I mean, listen, I believe some of that stuff, but at the end of the day, you got to be good. And I'm not sure these guys are good. So, hey, better culture, that will help, but I don't know if it'll make you better than you were last year.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
I hope so.
I'm feeling
I hope
it. So. Anyway, guys, big game tonight on an Ask Alon Anything Friday. You can ask any question. I'll work it in. I guess it's actually this afternoon for our beloved Cougs. Cougars. It's the mother-loving Cougars. And a Cougar off against the BYU Cougars. Got to say, having watched Primeval, American Primeval on Netflix, which heavily features Brigham Young himself, the greatest Mormon of all time, may have been a bit of a gangster. Sorry, Mormos.
I thought you were going to say it featured cougars because it's on the frontier.
I don't think there's as many cougars in that one. I feel like there were wolves. Not sure there were cougars. Definitely cougars in 1923, technically mountain lions, but it's a cougar off.
Yeah.
And look. If you know me, you know, one, yeah, I love that the Cougs won the Big 12 title and that they've won it outright in the regular season a couple of times. But do not get it twisted. There's no rest. There is no laying down. I want them to take down BYU. I want them in the Big 12 championship. And I want Texas Tech.
Yeah.
I want Texas Tech. Hey, Tech, you better show up. Take care of Arizona today, huh? Take care of Arizona today. I want Cougs Tech tomorrow. That will be a fantastic Big 12 championship.
Yeah, because Texas Tech, they're playing. So I caught a little bit of their game against Baylor last night as I was doing stuff. I was kind of checking back in. Those guys look good.
They're good.
They look real good.
And I mean, you know, you've played them twice this year. They won the first one.
Yeah.
In a game where
both,
you know,
road teams won, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. So I'm looking at this game and I feel like, hey, like worst case scenario, the iron has been sharpened a little bit more. You lose going into the tournament.
Yeah.
This is the year. I really think this is the year, but I do not want them to roll over in the next couple of games to rest up for the tournament. And I don't think Kelvin Sampson will allow that. And I like that. I like that, even though some people are like, that's not smart logic. F logic. Be competitive.
Yeah, I mean, like, if we're being honest, there is, like, you know, Duke. Like, should they have just not played Cooper Flagg? Like, you can make the case that they couldn't have. But then, what are we doing with the conference tournaments at this point? If you're going to play a conference tournament, play it. Actually try to win it. I get it if a guy is, like, trying to rush back. Maybe don't rush him back for this. But if he can play... have them play. Like, what are they supposed to do? Let the walk-ons play? Like, is Ryan Elvin still around to take some shots?
Ooh,
like,
I would love to see Ryan Elvin in there.
I don't know. I think he graduated. I could be wrong, though.
713-780-3776 on an Ask Alone Anything Friday. I'm asking you this question. Who's the greatest Cougar of all time? I'm not talking about any specific Cougars.
Yeah.
Like, the cats. I'm not talking about any actual animals, Sean. Like, I don't know if there was, like, a famous... Cougar, other than Shasta, of course, who is the holy one and the holiest of cougars. But I'm talking about a different type of cougar. I'm talking about a different type
like
of cougar.
Rob Gray?
No, if I'm not mistaken.
Drexler?
Well, I believe that they would be called Sean, at this moment in time, Hakeem Olajuwon, Silver Foxes, right? Because they're up there in age.
Oh, but they play. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I
yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Okay. You know, like Steve Young. No.
Okay.
Not to the side. Yeah. Like some of the Detmers, like a bazillion Detmers who played it at BYU. No, Luka no.
Nakua?
Not talking about the. No, no. Not talking about the players or the actual cat. Talking about the Cougars. Because that's what you're supposed to say. Who the bleep's that? It's the mother-loving Cougars. No, it's actually, who are they talking about? They are talking about the Cougars. That's how the womp-womp goes. So that's on the table for you. And as we get closer and closer to opening day for the Houston Astros, I am starting to get concerned about another plan in Houston sports. What that is, you'll find out. Stay put.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. If you want to chime in, 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in. You can join in on Twitch at ESPN 975. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Opened up the show talking about how I don't feel great about the Texans' plan on the offensive line. A texter asks, if both are there, would Kelvin Banks, who is a Texas tackle, and Tyler Booker, Sean, where did he go to school?
Alabama guard.
Would they fit in better on this team? Yes. Are they offensive linemen? Yes.
Yeah. At the end of the day, like, listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, like, the ins and outs of Kelvin Banks or any of these guys.
Nor will I.
Especially, like, if I can't tell you about Kelvin Banks, the guy who I watched play basically every game of his career, I'm not going to be able to tell you about the Alabama offensive lineman. I'm just going to regurgitate what I read Lance Erline and the other actual draft insiders who know what they're looking at. What they write about these guys. That's all I got. I simply need the Texans to add high-level talent on this team.
Yes.
Just high-level guys that you think, okay, there's upside here. I can see what works, how this works with this guy. And I think anybody, honestly, in the first three rounds,
yes,
has a good chance that after the draft, we're sitting here going, so he probably starts, right?
I would think so.
But no matter who, I like those guys, and later in the draft, I like Georgia guard Tate Ratledge.
Okay, that's a name.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Put him on the Paul Gallant Show with Sean Mapes Big Board.
Yes, Tate Ratledge.
Name. It's a cool name. That's the coolest name of all those guys.
And Georgia, basically their offense fell off a cliff when he didn't play. That's when Beck started throwing a lot of interceptions because they're letting in more pressure because Ratledge was out. He comes back in. They steady the ship a little bit.
Ask Gallant Anything Friday. You can ask any question. Work it into the show. Not a fan of the Texans' offensive line plan to this point. I also asked the question because we were talking about the Cougars yesterday. They play the BYU Cougars in today's Big 12 semifinals matchup. Big 12 championships tomorrow. I'm hoping that they win and Texas Tech wins. We get one last showdown between these two teams. But we were asking who's the greatest Cougar. Who is the greatest Cougar of all time? Who is it? And you know what kind of Cougar I'm talking about. Not the cat. And not actual players for both BYU, the University of Houston, and whatever other teams across this great country of ours are nicknamed the Cougars. Just about everyone has given the same answer. Eric the Driver said Demi Moore, Brandi Love, Elizabeth Hurley, Julianne Moore, all great Cougars. I agree. Strong, powerful, independent women. But he also said Jennifer Coolidge. Christopher Soriano said, the mom on American Pie. A texter, the best Cougar of all time is Stifler's mom. Another texter, would the greatest Cougar of all time be Stifler's mom from American Pie? All of those people are Jennifer Coolidge. All of those people. That is just Jennifer Coolidge. She is probably more in my generation's mind known as Stifler's mom. But if you've been watching White Lotus, you've seen her honestly, she's in a bazillion different commercials these days. And I got to say, between the White Lotus and those commercials, I've got a little bit of Jennifer Coolidge fatigue, but that's definitely a good nominee. She's, I guess, going to be in some movie with Bill Murray coming out soon. And I think Pete Davidson's in it and a bunch of other relatively famous people, some sort of dark comedy. I was listening to Bill Murray on Rogan, and I was like, oh, okay, this movie sounds like it could be interesting. So Jennifer Coolidge seems to be everyone's choice. This is going to date all of us a little bit, but for me, the number one is Kate Beckinsale, who's also a cat mom, and she's in her 50s. And once you cross over that rainbow bridge into the 5-0, I mean, that's the moment in time where you officially become one, I think. I suppose you could be one in your 40s, but no. I think it has to be in your 50s, and you got to be someone looking for a cub. There was a website when I was working back at the Texans flagship. I think it's called Cougars Meat. And it was something else. I signed up and it was like, are you a cougar or a cub? And I was like, a cub. This is kind of weird, though. I'm a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I'm a little uncomfortable with being called a cub. It's like, what? So I'm getting with my mom?
Yeah, it sounds like you're being that or taking advantage of.
It's a little Oedipal. Is that what it is? The attraction
Oedipus,
to your mother?
Yes.
Oedipus, yeah. And there was a person that would call in to our station, and the station was actually trying to set me up with her. I think her name was Marlo or something like that. She was very wonderful, very nice lady. Used to see Lisa Ann on the regular over at the flagship too. One of the sweetest people, considering how famous she is, infamous in the eyes of some, actually gives good fantasy football advice. Really nice. So definitely she's up there as well. So who's the best Cougar of all time? 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. This is one Sean had said, and I'm just going to allow Sean, because fake Tony Stark just said it on our Twitch.
Oh, yeah. Jane Seymour.
Yes.
From Wedding Crashers.
Wedding Crashers, yes. Right.
The mom in Wedding Crashers.
Right. And at that moment in time, still, I believe, technically a cougar. She is, I think, in her 70s now. And if I'm not mistaken, also still looking like a very strong, powerful, and independent woman. I think at this moment in time, she's probably closer to a...
I think she's graduated.
There's another term. It begins with, you know, you've heard the term. Am I allowed to say? Am I allowed to say the acronym on the air? So
I mean, we've spent 3 days talking about tetas. I think,
that's true.
And everyone knows what that means.
There's a term called MILF. There's also a term called, and I learned this last night while watching Landman.
Isn't that last night?
Yeah. I had never heard GILF before, but I did. Allie Larder in Landman actually might be overtaking Kate Beckinsale. Allie Larder in Landman is I would try to break up Billy Bob Thornton and Allie Larder in Landman. I would probably get killed in the process. Wouldn't go so well for me.
That's normally how things go in that kind of show.
Yeah, or in that kind of trying to break up a marriage deal. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so again,
news of the weird. Paul, go on.
So there you go, guys. The greatest cougar of all time. After Shasta, in my opinion, it's Allie Larder. But most of you guys agree it's Jennifer Coolidge. Pat 409 says Diane Lane. Ooh, that's a good one. Carla Gugino. Ooh, that's also a good one. She was in Entourage. I think she was Vinny's agent after Ari for a little bit of time. She was also in a season of Californication. Dolly Parton. Ooh, okay. That's a good one.
I mean, she's also aged out of this. She's like in her 70s.
Marissa Tomei says another texter.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
That's a great
still
one.
Still had it in Spider-Man.
It's honestly one of the funniest parts of the Spider-Man movies is everyone being like, whoa,
yeah.
to Marissa Tomei.
One last text before we all bonk ourselves and, you know, stop being men on an Ask Alone Anything Friday from the 409. Do you prefer a female who's wearing a thong or a male in a Speedo? Guys, you all know the answer to that one already. 713-780-3776 to call in or text in on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Up next, I am concerned about something the Astros are doing, because the more they do it, the more it seems like they don't know what they're doing. What that is, you'll find out next. Paul Gallant Show, Sean Mapes behind the glass on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
On an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. Someone texted in Fire Gallant. He says he's sick of sports sing radio and stupid Astro on bone. We haven't even sang yet today. We can. And by the way, I'm sorry, but we're about to give you the trombone, because we are getting closer and closer to opening day for the Houston Astros. And you'll be back. I know it. You know it. You can't get enough of me. So give me that bone 13 days away.
Another year, another inevitable AL West title.
For the fourth year in a row and the seventh consecutive full season, the Astros are the AL West champion.
We're counting you down to Astros opening day 2025 on March 27th.
There's a lot of people that count us out early. We don't quit. We got grit.
We are built for this.
Let's go!
I don't think the Astros outfield is built for anything right now. And I don't know how they plan to build it into anything with the way that they are operating this spring. So first off, I understand that Jose Altuve is new at this and that it's going to take time and experience for him to become a capable left fielder. But 9 innings of work in left field, a couple of catches at the wall, a conversation or 70 with Jake Myers, who's actually a good defensive player out there, if not the best hitter, and a conversation with outfield coach Dave Clark. It's not going to erase yesterday's brutal Jose Altuve error at the wall. I get it. Bad things happen. If you watched it, he clearly lost bearing on where he was, mistimed his jump, thought he was against the wall. He actually wasn't. Jumped up, missed the ball. It hits the wall and rolls probably like 10 to 20 feet away from him. Jake Myers corrals it and throws it back into the infield as whatever Cardinals player hit that ball, hit a triple. I don't know how that gets better. I really don't. Honestly, I feel like the height was a problem for that specific moment. Now, left field at Minute Maid Park, how many times is Altuve going to run into that situation? I don't know. And I imagine there will be games where Altuve does play second base, but they have told us that the plan is to put Altuve primarily in left field. Okay, hey, it gives you a bat in your outfield. You don't have any at this moment in time. But how much is that going to hurt you over the course of a long season? Meanwhile, the Astros' plan for Cam Smith in right field, which really seemed to take root this past weekend, where all of a sudden you heard from Jim Bowden and Baseball Insider for The Athletic that the Astros were considering putting Cam Smith in right field because of how good he's been this spring. We've only seen him out there once. It was yesterday for 5 innings, I think, and nothing went his way. And now, based off of what we're hearing from Joe Espada, I don't know necessarily when we're going to see Cam Smith in right again, which lends itself to a tough-to-answer question. So, wait, is Cam Smith going to make the opening day roster? Is he going to be a right field solution at some point? Per Joe Espada, yesterday afternoon, Cam Smith will get another start in right field in the next few days. Why not tomorrow? Why not today? Why not? Why in the next few days if you're thinking about him in right field? Because the spothead said that Smith will split time between the infield and outfield during today's spring breakout game against the Nationals. Why not just put him in right field? So, look, I don't know how much defense could hurt the Astros this coming season. I look at their lineup, and outside of the outfield, I mean, you do have a pretty impressive lineup, assuming Jeremy Peña can continue what he's doing this spring. But with Altuve and Paredes with his splits in ballparks that are like Minute Maid Park, and Yordan, and Christian Walker at first base, Yiner Diaz, among others, this has the makings of a good lineup. And then you got the outfielders, and you're not really 100% sure how you feel about those outfielders. You don't know what's going on at second base, really, at this moment in time, either. You still feel good about the offense. How much does the defense affect them? How much of an impact does it have? Like, if we're going to get nerdy, how much does it affect our wins above replacement? I really do not know the answer to that. But I don't like this plan right now. Much like I don't like the Texans' plan on the offensive line, I don't like this plan because, at least with the Texans, there's still plenty of time left. We're less than 2 weeks away from opening day for the Astros. So, if Cam Smith's not in right field every single day, I don't know that he's going to make the opening day roster. And he doesn't necessarily need to. It does seem like he's cooling off a little bit. But I'd like something a little more concrete than what they're showing. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. Greg has a thought on Jose Altuve in left field. Greg, what you got?
Oh, Greg just dropped.
Oh, no, we lost Greg. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's go to the Twitch on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 75 court jesters. There we go. Cam Smith, he's going to go to the minors. They don't want to start the clock. We should say that to shame the Astros into putting Cam Smith on the opening day roster. Todd, the show says they have no intentions of Cam making the opening day roster. King of Twitch agrees. 20 at-bats isn't a real sample size, continued Todd on that front. Yeah, like it was a pipe dream to see him actually out there. But they introduced this idea to us over the weekend, and then they're saying, yeah, he's going to be playing in right field a little bit, but you're not actually doing it.
Yeah.
And it feels like they're really, at this moment in time, just digging through a scrap heap, hoping that something's going to come as a solution. That means that their offense, at least from the outfield, their offensive production from that part of the team isn't going to suck this year, especially early on, because what are the odds you're going to be able to overcome two back-to-back brutal starts to the year? Probably low.
Yeah. I think just the messaging with the Cam Smith opening day thing, like, to float it out there and then immediately kind of not hit the brakes on it, but you do it once, nothing really happens, and then seemingly you go, well, we'll get around to putting him out there again. We'll see. It just seems like a little bit of they obviously don't want to do it, but they wanted to give lip service because of how well he had played. That, like, okay, he has a chance. We'll try putting him in left or putting him in right. And they do it once. And now it's, well, we'll see the next time we do that. It's just, why even say that he has a chance to make the opening day roster if you're going to do this?
Yeah, they're selling hope.
If Altuve was, or if Espada was just like, we want to see him in right, but, you know, we still have a plan for him, a long-term plan, blah, 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 blah. But to say, yeah, he has every chance to make the opening day roster and it not be the case sucks.
Todd, the show says, it is fun to think about. Right. Exactly what you're saying.
And, and you're just like, what we're thinking about is just dropping in the guy who's been hitting 500 in spring training. Like, we're not, like, this is not a real player that we're thinking of the best case scenario. And I've, like, one of the Twitchers brought up, like, 20 at-bat sample sizes is what we're doing.
It's
here.
Very little. And right. And it's no longer, he's no longer batting 700 with an OPS of like 8 million or whatever the hell it was. Exaggerating a bit. 75 Court Jester asks, is Chaz really a major leaguer on an Ask Alon Anything Friday? Well, I would say based off of 2 years ago, yeah. Yeah, he put together a really impressive season. Does he belong there for the entirety of his career? No, that's another question. But, like, you have a season like that. What was it, 20 home runs plus? Despite, like, getting regularly benched because of conditioning issues in the eyes of Dusty Baker. It was a pretty good year.
Yeah.
So, one good year like that, I think, does make you a major leaguer. As far as outfield options and free agency, they weren't great. And, of course, the Astros were not going to spend that much money. So, like, I understand why this is something they are considering. But it does feel like it's not the best plan, especially with how Altuve left. Someone on the looked yesterday with that brutal error. Someone texted in to the 713. Hey, remember that movie, Angels in the Outfield? What did that kid do to get his wings? Or the Angels came to him? That's what Jose needs to do. Well, his dad, who plays Roger's dad? It's actually like a fairly relevant actor. I think it's Billy Zane. I'm not even kidding. I think it's Billy Zane. No, it's Dermot Mulroney. My bad. They look kind of similar.
Yeah, I was going to say that's in the right. You're thinking the right thing.
A staple of 90s movies. Yeah. Oh, I know that guy. So in that movie, this guy, he's like a biker of some sort. Like he's clearly a deadbeat who's probably just slinging that thing all over the West Coast. What? He's got a leather jacket on. The dude looks like he gets around. It looks like he gets around. I'm sure there are other Rodgers in that movie.
That's also just kind of what Mulroney looks like.
Yeah, yeah. But the leather jacket adds to it. So in that movie, Roger has a talk with his dad and asks, hey, when are we going to be a family again? Because his mom died. And like, so he's in a foster home. And the dad's just riding around, like up and down the highway, like looking like a badass. And again, probably having a good old time. And Roger's dad tells him, where I'm sitting, when the Angels win the pennant. This is right after they'd had a brutal game. So at that night, Roger prays to the big man upstairs.
God, yeah.
I want to be a family again. Can the Angels, my favorite team, win the pennant? And so basically what you're asking here, sir, for the Astros to get Angels is some Astro fans, possibly deadbeat biker gang father, needs to leave him. So I don't think we want that. I personally, as someone who has gone through, you know, family separation and stuff as a kid, I do not wish that upon anyone, even if it helps Jose Altuve magically become the greatest left fielder of all time.
They're making web gyms.
How far is too far? That is too far. A small child having his father leave so that the Astros can have awesome web gems thanks to help from Angels? No. That's my favorite baseball movie ever, but I do not want any kid to go through what Roger went through. Although, because what? Is Joe Espada going to adopt him, this kid, at the end of the movie?
He's going to become a rallying cry?
Also, some Astro pitcher is going to die of cancer from smoking like Tony Danza?
Well, we don't need that.
I don't want that.
I'm okay with the kid being estranged.
You're a sick son of a bitch.
I don't want a pitcher to die. I don't want Ronel Blanco to happen.
Oh, boy. That was a fun one. Rabbit hole to go down. It's the Paul Gallant Show on an Ask Alon Anything Friday. 713-780-3776 to call into text. Somebody else asked, hey, where's Joe? Joe still's at the station, but he has some family things going on. So he's taking a little bit of time off. The guy spent so much time basically doing everything here, and we really appreciate that he's sticking around, and we're all hoping for the best for his family. So there you go, guys. That's why it's now the Paul Gallant Show. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant. Up next, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Laremy Tunsil said goodbye to the city of Houston, but a lot of people have questions. What are those questions? You'll find out. Stay put.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.